Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. The state reported another coronavirus death yesterday. In a video posted online last night, Chief Medical Officer Dr. Ann Zink said a 73-year-old Anchorage man succumbed to the disease.
This was an older gentleman with underlying medical problems who he believed obtained the disease when he was outside of Alaska, became more ill after he'd returned home, was hospitalized, and unfortunately passed away.
Dr. Zink said six Alaskans have now died from COVID-19. She also shared details about 14 new cases, people who range in age from 10 to 79.
Two are from Juneau, four from Anchorage, seven are from Fairbanks, and one is from Seward.
Alaska's total case count is now 185. Dr. Zink said there were four additional hospitalizations for COVID-19, bringing the cumulative count to 20. But she also reported that 10 people had recovered from the coronavirus-caused illness,
bringing our total recovered people to 26. Those are people who no longer require isolation, and our epi team has said that they are now free of the disease.
Zink said the state has been fielding a lot of calls and investigating clusters of the illness, and she commended Alaskans who are staying home and socially distancing when in public.
We've also been hearing concerning stories about grocery stores, parties, and people hanging out.
Dr. Zink reminded Alaskans of the important role they play in slowing spread of the virus and emphasized minimizing time inside public places, including stores, and again reminded people to wear a face mask when they are in public. A worker at the Pogo gold mine has tested positive for COVID-19, and mine officials say the man may have come in contact with up to 14 others at the mine 38 miles northeast of Delta Junction. Pogo owner Northern Star Resources issued a news release yesterday that says the worker tested positive after coming off a 12-day shift at the gold mine. The worker lives in Fairbanks and is with family and getting medical care. He has so far not developed serious symptoms and will be under observation and isolation for 14 days. The company news release says eight other employees at Pogo who may have been exposed to the coronavirus were also in isolation yesterday at the mine while they were waiting for transportation off-site. Those employees and six others who were on leave but may have also been exposed to the virus will remain in isolation for 14 days. The Northern Star news release says work at Pogo will continue and that social distancing policies and stringent hygiene and cleaning standards are being maintained. Raven Air Group is shutting down all operations and has filed for bankruptcy. Alaska Public Media reports that the company made the announcement that it would park all remaining planes and lay off all employees in a press release yesterday, and followed with a second one last night, adding it would be filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. The moves by what was the largest in-state air carrier complicates travel and logistics around Alaska, including on the North Slope, where community service had already been cut on Thursday. The company blamed its inability to continue to operate on a 90% decline in revenue caused by a coronavirus-related drop-off in travel across the state. Last Thursday, the company eliminated 90% of its flights, including to most small communities. U.S. Postal Service spokesperson David Rupert says that decision caught the service off guard.
Obviously, this time around, we didn't have that luxury of time.
But Rupert added that the Postal Service had filled in the gaps working with smaller carriers
to cover just about all of the communities through one means or another.
After the announcement of cuts Thursday, Wright Air Service stepped in to fill gaps in passenger routes on the North Slope. Wright reports hiring five Raven ground crew employees and working to get access to Raven's facilities in order to keep freight moving smoothly. The State Health Department has recommended outdoor exercise as a way to maintain physical and mental health during the coronavirus pandemic. And as KUAC's Robin reports, the Fairbanks North Star Borough has extended a winter trails challenge to help people take advantage of the interior's extended snow season.
The COVID-19 pandemic has affected all of the recreation programs run by the municipality. Pools and parks have been closed and group events canceled. The only program the municipality is still running is the Winter Trails Challenge, although it's been tweaked for the new normal. Trails coordinator Bryant Wright says the interior's hard, cold winter and recent snow load added to quarantine measures, so the staff decided to extend the Trails Challenge through the month of April.
To help keep people occupied, and conditions outdoors kind of just worked in our favor to allow the Trails Challenge to keep going.
The Trails Challenge is a short list of some of the thousands of miles of trails in the Fairbanks North Star Borough, sort of an outdoor scavenger hunt. The trails office publishes maps and makes special signs for each selected trail. You register online, go find the trail, then take a picture of yourself with a sign to show you've been there. Getting outdoors to exercise is discussed in State Health Mandate Number 11. Alaska's Chief Medical Officer, Ann Zink, released a video over the weekend showing how Alaskans can still get out if they maintain a good distance from each other.
Alaska is beautiful, and being outside can be a good way to be able to take care of your physical and mental health.
She shows how to wear a face mask to protect others at the trailhead, then keeps her distance from people she came to exercise with. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
The state of Alaska recently announced the launch of a new online school program. Education Commissioner Michael Johnson says the Florida-based program is another option for Alaska students kept home by the coronavirus. But as Alaska Public Media's Tegan Hanlon reports, the new school has already generated a lot of controversy.
The state education department is calling it the Alaska Statewide Virtual School, and it's basically being run by the Florida Virtual School, at least right now. It's costing the state $525,000 for the year.
Trying to find as many options as we can for public school.
That's Alaska Education Commissioner Michael Johnson. He says the state-run Florida Virtual School was originally recommended to him by former Florida Governor Jeb Bush before the coronavirus pandemic. Under the contract, Alaska students in kindergarten through 12th grade can sign up for the new online classes taught by teachers in Florida. Johnson says the classes are optional and free to students for the rest of the school year, and they can be taken for a grade or not. The Florida school will also train Alaska teachers in online course delivery and eventually help transition the platform to Alaska teachers.
To continue delivering education this way, if needed.
In an email, the superintendent of the Juneau School District called the contract with Florida a, quote, insult to most, if not all, teachers in the state. And the head of Alaska's statewide teachers union, Tim Parker, says educators were blindsided by the launch of the new online classes after already putting in a lot of work to deliver their lessons remotely.
Don't really know how the Florida virtual school model is supposed to interact with what they are trying to deliver.
He says he doesn't see the need for this new partnership and the state money should stay in Alaska.
We know our students and we know exactly what their needs are.
But Mike Hanley says he's grateful for the new resource. Hanley is a former Alaska Education Commissioner and he's currently the superintendent of two school districts that serve small communities, the Chugach School District and the Aleutian Region School District.
This is a great resource for people who want to use it.
By Friday, about 80 Alaska students in seven school districts had enrolled in the new classes. In Anchorage, I'm Tegan Hanlon.
And I'm Dan Bross.